This is the Out of the Red podcast, hosted by Natalie O'Brien and Lisanna Murray. Out of the Red is the podcast for business owners and professionals alike who are pro-technology and want to keep their businesses in the black and out of the red.
And in this episode, we talk about staff culture, vision statements, selecting the right company to work with or for, promoting staff, and much more. Please stay tuned and do enjoy.
There are people who take pride in being paid for doing absolutely nothing. You know? And that may just sound like, okay, that's just somebody who's really lazy, but you'll be surprised how much people in this country think like that's how things should be. That's a great thing.
Yes.
You know? And when you have to deal with these people in order to get a project completed, it can be a nightmare.
And it also puts your deadlines back on it backtracks everything, because everything is now being delayed. When you had expectations of stuff being completed, things are getting pushed back because somebody didn't provide what they're supposed to provide. So in going forward, we're going to start off, as you said, with the employees. And I am saying more the employees' culture, the business, not really the employee culture, but the business culture of the employees. You had to set a trend. And some companies, they would have a culture and people would leave and people would continue on with that same culture in how they value what they get paid to do or how they value what they come to work to do. They come to do ABC, only ABC they're going to do. Don't give them anything else extra to do, because that'll be like too much for them to do, or they need to get paid more because that's not what you're paid to do. But in the long run, they don't see it as when they get asked to do more, do other additional stuff, it benefits the company, and in benefiting a company or the business, it's the effect should trickle down to the staff, as you say. I would not say employee, I will call them the staff. So if you have business, you want to grow your business, you have to be able to have a team of people willing to grow the business with you, because at the end of the day, you as a business owner is your business and you want to see it strive. You're thinking of ways to get your business to the next level. As an employee, they just see it as
want my money.
They see it as an 8 to 4. They come to work, they get paid, they're happy, they go home, and life is merry. They don't study anything else, but they just have to come to work, do what they paid to do, and that's it. And sometimes people need to kind of have this conversation with their staff, and you know.
So,
where they have like team building exercises and these things, but then in the culture in business, I have worked in companies where when you say team building exercise, the employee or the staff is like,
oh, great, gosh, yeah.
I don't want to do that, blah, blah, you know. It's not like something that they're motivated to say, oh, yeah, let's do this. They have a negative reaction to it.
No, let me pause it there, Natalie, because I have a lot of responses. Now, to put in the context, one of the things you're saying there is that it's kind of like incumbent on the employer to try and foster a positive culture, right? Positive work culture. And I agree totally. And I also agree that it happens, because we all see it where the employers would come with this, you know, team building exercise and those kind of things, and the employees reject it. But of course, they go along with it because it's part of the job, but it doesn't have the results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for various reasons. But one of the reasons for that, I think that I've seen, is because, you know, you kind of bring a cookie-cutter solution where, you're going to have team building exercise probably provided by some other company or consultant or professional that work for somebody. But it may not work for your company at that point in time. Because, you know, I think there's an area or level that you kind of reach in terms of having a toxic employee culture, where I wouldn't say that it's too late, but it's not going to be solved like that. Because, like, you know, if the vision, I remember actually working somewhere, because I worked many places, so I'm not going to say exactly where. But I remember that after like 3 years of working in that place, I discovered we had a vision statement.
Oh my goodness.
And a mission statement. Okay. And it turned out that it was on the wall the only time, and I never really paid attention to it. I spent a little bit of time going around asking people about it, you know, we have a vision statement, but nobody knew what that was, right? And those things, and in thinking about it now, those kind of things just kind of seemed like stuff when I was an employee. But at that point in time, I was kind of involved with like a non-profit that we were trying to get started, and you know, that was one of the things they told us that we should have, and that kind of thing. And at that point, from a, like a starting off point, it made sense to have those things because it kind of puts into scope what they're trying to accomplish. But when you're in a company that's been around for a while, whether it's a big or small company, once it's been around for a while, it's easy for those things to kind of get lost as just like stuff that exists. Kind of like, you know, not to offend anybody, but some companies might have stuff like a company prayer or some kind of stuff like that. Just these are just stuff, you know, that just people just have. Nice things to have
there. And then so the employees will think that's something the company trying to brainwash you into. But these are things that are supposed to be instilled in the person you're hiring from the get-go.
Let me just say that nobody should ever work for a company if its vision or mission statement does not match your own values. Because in theory, you will always have problems. Okay. But how can you know that if you don't even know
what the vision is? Get a job and you're good, you're getting a good... They just see salary. They don't see anything else. I think people look at employees, well, staff look at it as, let's see what the salary is the first thing, then what the job functions is the second thing they'll look at, and then the third thing they'll look at is the qualifications from looking for a job. They're looking at how much I get in pay, what it is I have to do, and that is it.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to lie, that's exactly how I look for employment. When I was a little younger, because the country was going through a boom, and I still tell people this to this day that, you know, I wasn't going to get bogged down in any one job. The country is going through a boom, so I could leave this job here after a week, and literally next week I'm working somewhere else, because everywhere I looked, I was seeing help wanted signs, right? But, you know, that was just, most of that was just for me to make some personal income or money to pay exam fees at one point in time. But on a more career-oriented track now, you know, if you intend to, especially if you have a person who's going to stay in a business, working for a business for the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years even, build your house and get married, this kind of business, you better be damn sure that that business matches your values. Because if you don't know, if you only look at what you just described, the salary, the you know, job description or qualification, and benefits, and you don't actually look at the company and the company's culture and understand what it is, you are going to be miserable either on the inside or on the outside. And we see it with these workplace zombies, people who've spent years in a company, they always have a depressing look on their face.
And then too, you look, sometimes I looked at some people who working for companies for years, and when you look, do they have a house? No, they're still renting. Do they own something? It's like they didn't try to better themselves. Yes, you're working for a company, but also you need to better yourself. Don't just stick at one level and say, okay, I'm happy there in your comfort zone. As some people like to tell me, you need to come out your comfort zone. So, you know, and then too, companies need to maybe have people come in and speak to the employees, motivate them, as I was saying earlier, that they need to motivate your employees, you know, just by talking and helping them change their mindset. Yes, I'm coming to work, but come to work for a purpose. Come to work to, you know, at the end of the day, you should feel good about yourself, not be like, oh, work again.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have that, like, when you hear work, you feel dread, but you know you have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, not every company is in a position to kind of, like, be exciting, basically. Yeah. I mean, like, if the company is a company that makes, well, actually, no, because I actually have, I know know someone who works in a company that produces, a company that produces cardboard boxes, like boring, but come to think of it, knowing somebody who actually works there, I remember them telling me about, you know, they're getting new machinery. So in retrospect, I think that one may be interesting.
Yeah, because you get a new machine, there's like a new toy, you something to do.
I'll go out on a limb a little bit here and say that, you know, probably any business could be made interesting. If it is whatever it's supposed to be interesting, it's not interesting, then obviously you're in the wrong place. So that doesn't mean you have to quit your job, but, you know, move on. But the employer now needs to kind of bring that you can't just, like, keep that excitement or that interest, you know, to just a few people. You try to get that to
everybody. Also they have to take note that not everybody have the same personality, not everybody would mesh each other. So you need, these are things where I think in HR they, but not okay, so if we're talking HR, I might be talking a big company. Say we're talking about a medium to small business, they might not have an HR, a tiny business, they would not have an HR department. But this is where you would see the team building, and you as the owner of the business needs to be able to know how to be a good leader and be able, you would be taking on the role and function of the HR person, knowing how to mesh people together. Because if you know Mr. X and Mr. Y don't get along, don't put Mr. X and Y to work together, you're going to get conflict. Something's not, and it's yeah, and things may not work out, but if you put X and Y together, they might work perfect, things will go right, you know. So these are things as employers they need to look at with the employees, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to be successful, everybody wants
to. I don't think so.
I'm just saying.
Like I mentioned before, that's like from a real idealistic.
I'm just saying.
Like, you know, you saying that, but it's like from a standpoint of sanity. But in my experience in Trinidad Tobago, you know, there is really a lack of sanity amongst people, because, you know, it's one thing to kind of be dejected and not have direction in life. There's another thing to kind of just be on a constant self-destructive path, and that's where what I kind of see from time to time with individuals, like, you know, up and up. But I'll give one example of a famous state-owned company that went bankrupt. They were aware of the nonsense that was taking place, but the attitude was kind of like mind your business, you know, and just do your work, and that ties in kind of like what you talk about, where they come to just do ABC and nothing else. And that nothing else also involves not paying attention to the fact that the business you're working for is going down in flames.
You know, time to bail.
You know, and you, exactly. And it's one thing if that's happening and you leave. But they would know that this is unsustainable and it's going down in flames, and they will remain there. And sometimes these things, especially with government places, they end up being like, you have the staff protesting on TV because of the closure of this or the closure of that. But we didn't get, you know, VSEP or back there or whatever the case may be. And it's like, this is not sanity. You are not taking control of your own future. But we're not doing a podcast about, you know, career building. But
and they need to be trained, as you were saying, with leadership. Before you put somebody into giving them a larger responsibility in their work, you should be able to train these people before you hand them over to be able to manage people. And that's too sometime where conflict will brew, because we all will start at the same level. One person might just get promoted to become your boss, but they don't have any leadership skills, so they're going away the same mentality they have, and they now just feel like, now I'm the boss, you have to do what I say, end of story.
So it becomes like a secondary school.
and
I'm a prefect now.
Yeah, and then the staff now gets disgruntled and they don't like this person and blah, and that causes conflict.
I've seen it all. Yes.
Yeah. So most companies and businesses they do that. They have that, and then you just have people who just don't like people. They get authority and they're mightier than anybody else. So what I say goes, no, don't ask me X, Y, and Z. But sometimes when things start to fall out of place, those same people who don't want time, they will then pass the blame on to the staff, the lower staff, because they don't want that responsibility. And as they say, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes,
so I take that on here, because before I was working for a company, they wanted to promote, our manager had left and it was three of us, and they wanted to promote one of us to become manager, and all three rejected it, because with great power comes great responsibility. Plus we know we were not able to handle that role as a manager, so we declined, because I wasn't trained, I wasn't prepared. Why am I going to say yes? It may be more money, but I'm not ready to handle that responsibility.
Yeah, and I think sometimes employers kind of underestimate the impact of that kind of like baptism by fire approach to management, because yes, the only way to really, you know, master that is to get experience, but it's a very psychological thing as well too, and if the psychology is not there in terms of the person's mental state is not there, they can make such a mess of things. Like actually, just in retrospect, I'm gonna call KFC a little bit here. Because I remember in the past seeing like, okay, you would see like this KFC full of like a real lackadaisical stuff. Mm. Like you would see people just kind of lazing around because the service is bad. But then you just see like one person who looks like there's a supervisor and they kind of looking like they barely keeping it together because they're talking to the staff, they're talking to the staff.
Nobody listening to them.
And it's like they're a school teacher taking care of children, and they can tell that, okay, that person wasn't mentally prepared to deal with these people.
And that will just carry up the stress level of people, cause, you know, anxiety, mental health. Yeah. And then that could, and all these things trickle down to road rage, you know, just people just being
it has,
and then people don't know, then it goes into the home of the person's family, their family life, so you're stressed at work, you come home, you take it out on your family, then if your family is stressing you, you take it out. So these are things I think people need to take heed and try and take responsibility for themselves and be able to talk openly. And as business owners, they need to also listen, because sometimes the employees will be talking and the business people, the employees will be speaking and the employers would listen but do nothing. They just be like, okay, we listened, but that doesn't mean to say we have to do anything. Well, at least we listened, you know, and that could disgruntle anybody because you're not doing no action. Listening is one, but we need to see things implemented, take action, show some initiative.
And also, let's be honest, both of us being business owners here, what we assign priority to in life is not often what somebody who's a permanent employee, for example, might assign priority to. So as long as the wheel's still turning and the engine is still burning, we may not feel compelled to, you know, get involved in something like that.